The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. At last, Madame de Franchi meets her son Louis, who was separated from her soon after he was born. After relating to him the tragic happenings in the valley below Mount Cyanthus, Madame questions him about his own reactions on the night in question. And when she learns that he did not have a vision, she declares that Lucien de Franchi is still alive. Pierre Godet looks at her in amazement.
Lucien is alive, I'm sure of it.
But, Madame, this is all supposition on your part.
Picadici would have no mercy, Madame.
I don't care what any of you say. When twins were born to me, I believed that there was a bond between them, as there was between the twin ancestors. When one of the boys should die, he would appear before the other at that exact moment, wherever he was.
Madame, you say that my brother was stabbed?
Yes.
You're quite sure?
Grifo saw it with his own eyes.
Then I was stabbed. Truly I was, Madame. Just here above the heart. The most terrible pain I've ever known in my life.
I should say so. His hands clawed and clawed at the curtain and brought it tearing over his head. He rolled over and over on the floor in agony.
Oh, then it is all clear. During moments of great emotion, you and Lucien experienced the same physical reaction. You had no vision, therefore I know...
Madame, don't be so sure about this. After all, it's only folklore.
Folklore? It is family history. Family history in which this boy is steeped. Even though he was brought up in Paris. Grifo, something must be done. You must question the peasants. You must go to Mount Cyanthus. Talk with the winemakers there and the farmers. Find out everything you can. Somewhere in Corsica, Lucien lies badly wounded. He must be found and brought home.
Somewhere in Corsica, if Madame could transfer herself at this moment to a low-ceilinged, whitewashed room overlooking a garden from which comes the perfume of many roses, she would see her son Lucien lying white and still on a small iron bed. A candle burns on a small table at his bedside, and by the table sits a dark-eyed girl with her eyes fixed intently on the still white face. Marianne Guidici has been sitting here for 2 hours, watching the still form on the bed. There is no sound in the room other than the slight clutter of a moth which bumps its way about the walls and then backwards and forwards across the candle. Occasionally, the shadow of its wings flickers across the impassive face of the girl who has been seated expressionless. But suddenly, she leans forward quickly.
Lucien. Lucien.
Oh.
Lucien.
Oh, where am I?
Can you see me?
I can see someone.
I didn't think you'd ever open your eyes. The doctor said you were out of danger. But the color of your face, almost as white as the walls.
My face, white as walls. Who are you?
Don't you know?
I can hardly see you. Are you Maria?
Maria? Who is Maria?
My mother's maid. No, you're not Maria. Your voice is richer, deeper.
Look carefully. Can't you see the face? The face that's like a pale blue mist.
Like a pale blue mist. Like... Oh, Marianne. Marianne Guidici.
Your enemy, Monsieur de Franchi. I think the tables are turned somewhat.
Where am I? What is this room? Grifo! Where's Grifo? Grifo!
You waste your breath and perhaps your life if you move too much, monsieur. Your lifeblood was nearly drained. And you are here a prisoner of the Guidici.
A prisoner?
The tables are turned, monsieur. Once you held me prisoner. Now... I hold you.
Oh, how strange. How very strange. And yet... Yes, Marianne. Now that my vision grows clearer, your skin has that mist-like quality. Mist-like and yet hard.
Hard?
Yes. Oh, pity. I am sorry we ever met again, Marianne. I had always thought of the softness. From now on, it seems I shall only know the hardness.
It's getting late, madame. I think I'll be off to bed.
You have had a heavy day, both you and Louis, traveling for so long.
No, I'm not tired.
What about you, madame?
I shall not sleep until Griffo comes back.
Do you think he'll be able to find out anything?
Griffo has a nose for news. He will call at the various villages, find out if anything has been heard of Lucien.
I sincerely hope that you're right in your premonition.
It is not a premonition. It is something I firmly believe in. The fact that history will repeat itself. Knowing that if anything happened to Lucien, if he died, his brother would know.
I believe that, too. Even though I haven't met Lucien, my own brother. The fact that I went through so much pain in Paris when Lucien was stabbed.
It proves everything, my son.
Well, I think I'll leave you two. No doubt you have a great deal to say to each other. It's been a most important meeting for you both. Good night, madame.
Good night, Monsieur Godet.
And good night, Louis. We'll meet at breakfast in the morning.
Good night, Pierre, and thanks for everything.
Well, often that's all right.
A very fine man.
My best friend in Paris. He feels very guilty because of what he's done, probing your secret.
Are you sorry?
Me? Oh, no, Mother. I've had the strangest feeling all through dinner. In fact, ever since I met you. To know that you're a mother, my mother, and that I belong to you and you to me. Somehow it gives me a different feeling in the world at large. A feeling that I really do belong to someone.
But I understand you were adopted.
Oh, yes, but my uncle and aunt, they're different somehow.
There is no love like a mother's love.
Yes, there is.
There is?
There's another love. Something so blinding, so all-enveloping, so overwhelming, that you lose yourself in it, Mother.
This girl, what is she like?
Oh, the most wonderful girl in the whole of Paris. Beautiful to look at and with a nature to match.
And she loves you?
Just as much as I love her. She's told me so. You'll meet her, Mother, of course, whether she comes to Corsica or whether you come to Paris. You'll meet her and love her.
If she is to be my daughter-in-law, I hope that will be the case, my son.
And what about Lucien? Is there anybody in his life? Any girl on this island with whom he's fallen in love?
Nobody. Lucien is a strange boy, Lucien. He has always held himself aloof from women. Of course, there is not much in the way of beauty here. Except perhaps one. But her soul is as wicked as her face is beautiful.
Who is that?
She is our bitter enemy, yours and Lucien. Her name is Marianne Guidici. Everybody talks of her beauty, but let me warn you now. If ever you should come face to face with Marianne, reach for your pistol.
I can't shoot.
You must learn. Your brother Lucien will teach you both to shoot and to use a sword and to hunt. He is a past master of the art.
Of course, I've heard of Corsica and its vendetta warfare. But I never thought that the women were involved as well.
Let me tell you, Louis, that Marianne Guidici is the greatest enemy among the Guidici. It is she who has sworn to wipe us out as a family. Always I am secretly amused, because I flattered myself that nobody knew that I had one other son hidden in Paris. However, now...
Now you have two sons. Two sons to fight for.
Two sons. Oh, Louis, I hope Lucien will be safe. If he is a prisoner of the Guidici, heaven help him. That is all I can say. If he is a prisoner...
Prisoner. So that is what I am.
More than a prisoner. You are the Defranchi who will pay for all our humiliations.
Then why do you sit here at my bedside? Why do you nurse me and give me medicines when you hate me so much? Oh, why don't you leave me here and let me die?
You have been very ill. You still are.
Oh, why don't you leave me?
The doctor said you must not excite yourself.
Excite myself? The doctor says. Oh, don't make me laugh. Why do you think I could lie here cool, calm, and collected with you and your hideous, grinning father behind you and your brothers and the rest of your family? Oh, I shall never forget about half an hour ago when they all stood at the door staring in like a lot of caged apes. You asked me to be calm.
Quiet.
Oh, calm. Cool.
I warned you. I told you not to make too much effort. Now you've exhausted yourself. You've tied your... Lucien de Franchi. De Franchi. He's fainted. Oh, Lucien, you will die. The doctor said you were in horrible danger. And yet you will try to struggle from your pillows. Your forehead, it is so hot. Beads of perspiration. Perhaps this handkerchief dipped in water. Yeah. Oh, Lucien.
I am here. I can hear you. You don't hate me, do you? Not as much as you pretend.
You closed your eyes. You pretended to faint.
You don't hate me. You're grateful because I let you escape when I had you in my power.
I do hate you, I do.
You have a strange way of showing it.
I hate you more than anyone else in this world. You're a beast, a fiend, a filthy defrontee.
You're nursing me back to health.
Back to health, yes. I'm nursing you back to health because you're to be flogged in the marketplace. Do you hear me? You'll be flogged until the flesh peels off your back. That will be our supreme revenge, you. You're the Franchi. You're the Franchi.
Again, this strange behavior from Marianne. But what of Lucien? What are his feelings as he lies pale and weak on his bed? You will hear more of this in the next chapter of The Corsican Brothers. Thank you.